Barbara Dugan, director of Massachusetts Families Against Mandatory Minimum Sentences, will speak at First Parish Unitarian Universalist Church in Harvard Square this Sunday at noon. Hear what's been won this past year and what remains to be done. Sponsored by the Prison Justice Task Force of First Parish Unitarian Universalist Church, which is located at 3 Church Street in Harvard Square. For more information, you can email prisonjustice@firstparishcambridge.org. It's noon on Sunday. The American Bankers Association will hold their annual meeting in Boston October 17th to 20th. I'm sure you've already gotten your invitation. The Banking Association is using a colonial theme in their trip to Boston. Their theme is, History Happens Here, Be a Part of It. Well, a coalition of Boston community organizations says, Be a Part of Making History, demand big bankers fix the foreclosure crisis and keep their hands off our homes. Freeze foreclosures in all 50 states and keep families in their homes through real mortgage modification, including principal reduction and cutting interest rates to current market levels. You are invited to join not the bankers, but the community. This Sunday, gather at 4 p.m. in Copley Square and then march at 4:30 to the Heinz Convention Center, which is where the bankers are meeting. There'll be a protest from 5 to 7 on Sunday in front of the convention center. And on Tuesday, October 19th, rally at 4 p.m. at the Heinz Convention Center, too. Also, that is. This is all sponsored by Jobs with Justice, National People's Action, Northwest Federation of Community Organizations, City Life, New England United for Justice, SEIU, and many more. For more information, you can call the Massachusetts Jobs with Justice office at 617-524-8778. And next Friday, October the 22nd, Haley House Bakery Cafe in Dudley Square and the Color of Film Collaborative will host their perennial dinner and a movie event. This year's film will be American Faust, From Condi to Neo-Condi, a film about Condoleezza Rice and a retrospective on the Bush administration. This political biography tells a Faustian story of a woman whose hubris tempted her into a pursuit of power that destroyed her core values and hurtled America into a perilous new direction. The film will be followed by a discussion moderated by Sister Nina La Negra of the Roxbury Media Institute. Condoleezza Rice will be giving a talk at the Ford Hall Forum at Suffolk University on October 28th, if you're so inclined. Better to go see the film next Friday, October 22nd, beginning at 5:45 with dinner and dessert served from 6:15 to 7, and then the movie begins at 7. This is a co-production of the Color of Film Collaborative, a nonprofit organization that works to support media makers of color and others, and the Haley House Bakery Cafe, a socially responsible nonprofit cafe in Dudley Square, Roxbury. For more information, please call Haley House Bakery Cafe at 617-822-3941. And also next Friday, Annie Leonard will speak at the Jamaica Plain Forum in her only Boston appearance. Annie Leonard is the author of The Story of Stuff, the online video sensation, and the book published by Free Press this year. Annie has spent nearly 2 decades investigating and organizing on environmental health and justice issues. That's next Friday, October 22nd, 7 p.m. at the First Church in Jamaica Plain Unitarian Universalist, 6 Elliott Street. For more information, visit JamaicaPlainForum.org. Goodness, there's a lot going on, and we're just about out of time, and the human beings, they are coming. So, the views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, nor the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. We will be back next week for more of this. And if you missed any of it, WMBR.org, go to the archives and bring a friend. Peace. See you next week. Did I mention this is WMBR Cambridge? I think I did.
marhaban. Yes, yes, marhaban bikum. I'm a doctor, Jalis al-Sakran, and I was recently eaten. So I welcome tonight Zoro the numerologist. Zoro, welcome.
To you and everyone.
It is a strange experience being eaten, reaching out with one's own limb and being consumed.
Devoured of a sort, yes, I can agree. But it's how our passions will go. Yes, there is a phrase to be consumed in your work or in your passions. Consumed.
Or to be ill with the consumption.
Yes, I am not sure of the link between these.
We welcome someone perhaps who has more experience both consuming and being a consumer. We welcome Erno. Erno, welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. I must say, this topic of eating and consuming, it's actually very pertinent considering my last week, my trip to my potionology conference. We discussed this, and we discussed it at length.
As the consumption of a potion is normally the primary way by which the potion is conveyed, no?
Yes, yes, indeed. Most potions that we deal with in the world, and in especially my research, are oral potions. Are mostly drunk. Very few are solid. In fact, we were discussing one in particular this week that really, really has some remarkable properties. The same potion, depending on how the attitude you have while you prepare it, and the outlook and some very simple external additives you add to the potion, how it could have a completely different effect on your physical and emotional well-being. You take the leaves of a plant from that's native to East Asia, an exotic species, and you oxidize them. Different amounts depending on your purpose. And usually, after throwing this plant into a boiling cauldron, you can make a concoction that can help induce sleep, or help wake you up, or in fact, force you to concentrate, or even make you relax.
So the mode of consumption and the mode that you are in consuming may affect the effect on you.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's a strange concoction. Some strange societies even add lactations from mammalian species to the mix.
It is a common thing, in fact. Although this practice is isolated to a very, very small number of species, but it is considered acceptable to consume the lactic excretions. But
Yes, I haven't completely studied the effects of the secretions on the potion itself, but my initial observations are that it is mostly aesthetic, makes it more pleasing to the palate for those who have trouble with such things.
But I would like to bring up the point that a potion sometimes may have as much complexity or subtlety as the person who is consuming it. It is very rare that one will regard the consumption of a potion as not a one-sided thing. And yet, when a person becomes one with a potion, you see the neutrality of the language, it is a metamorphosymbiosis resulting in a single organism.
Indeed.
With the properties of both.
Indeed.
And it brings me back to this consumption of passions and love and to have more people, two people or more, to be consumed with each other's passion. Yes, it's much like the potion is fusing with the person, and two people to fuse together.
Indeed. Well, as always, I would like our listeners to know that just as the potion is not intended to be consumed, but to mix the two creatures, we wish to mix with you. And so if you'd like to mix with us and enjoy a metamorphosymbiotic relationship, the number is 617-253-8810.
Make a human potion.
A human potion, a tea of our ideas. Caller, marhaba.
Yeah, hi, this is Scott in Cambridge. Were you on the air tonight?
Yes, Scott, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We are well, and we are...
We hope
so
you are
pleased.
Well, too, Scott.
So pleased,
yes,
to be mixed with you.
What were you discussing tonight?
Well, Scott, and also for everyone, we were recently discussing the consumption of potions, or more precisely, unifying of a person with a potion.
Potions?
A drink or a concoction.
Sure.
But maybe not limited material potions, but
the
perhaps
relationships could be potions.
Ideas and those things which can consume a man and he can consume.
Oh, that's cool. I just wrote a line about it's about a silent room where an emotion goes through the room and supposedly bounces off the objects.
I like this image very much.
Potions.
Yes, but...
Do you have a potion that you...
Well, earlier today, I was permitted to enjoy a Japanese meal. And I was given a miso soup, and I know that it is regarded generally as a nutritious item meant to be consumed for the purpose of acquiring nutrients and calories. But to me, there was also a spiritual element, the consumption of the seaweed and other elements.
Indeed, the effect of that potion had as much to do... It didn't just affect your spiritual and emotional makeup, but your spiritual and emotional well-being affected the potion. It is a two-way street, and it must be for it to be truly effective.
And I think this is the thing we imply with a metamorphosymbiosis, yes?
Indeed, there is a mutually beneficial relationship between the soup and the drinker of the soup.
Have you heard of Tanagax?
Tanagax.
Malaysian. For some reason, sometimes you can take potions, sometimes you can pop pills.
Tell us about it, Scott.
as far as, well, I don't know how much research has actually been done, but you can toss it into, like, concoctions and stuff, as far as your health is concerned. That doesn't say that it would have spiritual New Age properties that have been passed down through literature and spiritual health properties that are transformed through the history of the history of poetry and literature.
If I may interject, Scott, I would like to point out that potions are more than just, as you say, popping pills. That
sure.
implies only, of course, a physical and purely physical means to how the potion works, and that is not at all the case.
No. That's why I mentioned the actual literature, the alchemy.
I think it is really important that these medicines are consumed with an air of spirituality and appreciation for the importance of the act.
Yes, I think these potions, which are transformative or in some way on a person, it's very much an alchemy of the soul. And
yes, if your mind and your soul are closed to the transformation, the potion's transcendental effects will not be able to progress.
And I think this is similar to the experience of a suntan bed to a donkey who is unable to appreciate the purpose or the quality of the device, the care with which it was constructed.
Because it is unwilling to accept the activation.
There is an absence of spirituality there, and without spirituality the experience becomes mundane.
Yes, perfunctory.
Doctor, another topic at the Potionology Conference this past week was our effect on each other as potions. I was wondering if you had an opinion on this matter. It's a new field to me, and I'm just beginning to look into it myself.
I think this idea of the unification of people through the consumption of one by the other, not in a physical sense, not in a permanent sense, but simply the consumption of one spirit, the merging of spirits. But see, this is why I think the word...
I wonder if that... Does that imply that it can be less than permanent if spirits merge?
I think it can be. I think that even a single person may dissociate and become several spirits.
You know, it reminds me of a practice I like to carry out from time to time, which is to make a soup for some of my friends, my house guests, and to enjoy in this meal together. And it will bring you to become more of one person for the whole of the gathering, to be more unified, and it's really in the sharing of the meal that I think this takes place. So, yes.
Do you think that the meal is an important part of our relationships with other people?
Yes, I think it is. It's a nice way to share.
What is it about eating together that...
Well, as you say, when we consume an object, it consumes us to an extent. And if we use the language which is symmetric, it's really that we are all becoming the soup and
we are drinking or slurping
and hence
each other.
Hence we are all becoming, a little bit of each other.
Yes, so indeed, we are not just eating the meal, but we are coming together as one at the same time.
Yes, yeah, yes, this is very much my goal in this excursion. So
there we have some idea that I think the traditional view is that we separate from each other, that looking backward, we'll find that you and I have a common ancestor, that at some point in history we were the same.
Yes.
And so the traditional view is one of separation, that over time we are becoming as a group, a species, more differentiated. But this view, the spiritual view of the merging of spirits, it gives the possibility of merging, of reunifying in a single mind or a single spirituality.
Yes, and I've actually read some research which has said over time, perhaps if evolution has not made the Earth more diverse, that the diversity of the Earth was reached a long time ago, and evolution is merely shifting the parameters around. Things are changing, but not necessarily growing more complex on the whole.
So we are meant to become one, to stop this separation that was started so long ago.
Well, I believe it's sort of inevitable that after some time the separation it's at the maximum, and you can sort of rotate around each other, but it is impossible to get further apart without actively attempting.
And yet, I think periodically, even in the traditional view, the species of the planet or the members of a particular group may suffer a winnowing. They may winnow, and their numbers may be winnowed.
Yes, and I think this is perhaps because mankind likes to separate, and it's much better if we can all come together and sort of unify. And I think it is natural for us to unify, but we have adopted this culture that. Which wants its own identity, you know?
So many people are so against the natural unification. I don't see how the current state of being has come about.
You know,
it's very hard to realize that unification is our ultimate goal, given the state of the world.
You know, I think it would be good to have our group unify a little bit with some outside voices in the mix.
Yes, if you...
What is the number, Doctor?
The number, if you would like to unify with us or unify your voices with ours briefly, is 617-253-8810. And I think we still have Scott on the line, but we have a second line. Scott, are you still with us?
Yes, yeah.
So, Scott, tell us about the unification influences of your life as we unify with this second caller. Caller 2, marhaban.
Hello.
Yes, welcome, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I like your conversation about becoming one.
And I wonder if there is, in life, I think that life begins with a separation. I wonder if life ends also with a unification, caller.
I believe that we all come into, we're all birthed with this oneness, and before we come into human form, we,
yes.
From the spirit realm, we are already one. And then when we come into human form, we unlearn the oneness. And then our job in this life is to relearn the oneness and become more and more one. So, as our planet becomes a higher vibration, even though everyone's talking about how it's getting more difficult on the planet, it's actually, some believe, a byproduct of the vibration actually getting higher, and therefore we're all becoming more and more one rather than further and further separate, which is what it looks like.
I've heard of this concept of the singularity. It is kind of the future of humankind to become more literally one than it is at the current moment. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this resonates with your thoughts.
I mean, my view there, the way that I think I would express what the caller has said, is that there is no less spirituality in the world, but maybe the glass has grown larger and the amount of fluid has remained constant.
Perhaps in our modern life we have taken this lens of life and we have hit it with some kind of a hammer, and when we look through it, we see many, many copies of the universe at different angles and so on. But really, we are all looking through one lens, which is just very different in different places.
I like that analogy. I believe there actually is one lens, but we all have this illusion, and it becomes distorted, and we think that we all are so different and apart from one another. And I remember years ago when I went to a meditation, it was a 10-day meditation, what came out of it for me was this realization that the illusion of separateness was what was keeping me unhappy, and that we were not actually separate, but separateness is really just an illusion. And
I think so much of... Now, I heard recently about a stroke victim who realized that part of the brain is devoted to keeping a core of individuality and separateness, and another part of the brain maintains a view of unity with all of life and all of existence.
Yes, there's indeed a duality that we are supposed to be both individuals yet united. And I wonder if perhaps this potion of unification could perhaps cure many, many of the problems that we as human race experience in the present day.
A unification potion.
Yes, I would think of it like that.
I think it's, for me, I believe it's the unification. It's not so much a cure as something that we need to remember. It's like we already have it. It's already in us, the oneness is already in us. We just forgot.
Mm. It is, so this is a Socratic view. Socrates' view is that knowledge was not learned, but simply remembered.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is a knowledge from, and I think this is, this goes along with our view on birth. Birth is this moment of separation. In many ways, a separation. And so then it perhaps will take a lifetime to learn how to rejoin.
Yeah, yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I think that the more people who become aware of what they have forgotten, I guess, and rejoin or... become one with the oneness, or that is what will reconnect us to the healing of the world.
Yes, I like this word, the healing. It's a good way to represent our goals for the future. I think to have us unify is a very technical word, and to heal is really it represents the way it's causing Spain to be separate.
Yeah.
How is it, caller, if you may, maybe would be willing to share, that you first came to the idea of joining a meditation circle?
I always had been on a path, and I think that a path is trying to be spiritually whole, I guess, and so it seemed like a natural step. Go and get quiet and see what comes out of it, and that was a profound realization that came out of it for me. Most people don't want to get quiet because they're afraid of the darkness, or they're afraid of the quiet. They think that
and
the hard things will come up, but what in reality what comes up is this. It's like the lack of people are so afraid. And when people move out of fear?
Yes, this is definitely a big challenge that many people face when they are first learning to meditate or something like this. It's frightening to say to yourself, I will not interact with my world. I will let the world become of me.
Well, even in a more general way, Zoro, like the idea that I may have a difficulty in life which I am ignoring, and the moment that there is silence in my mind and darkness in my eyes, the problems which have been screaming to have some attention will be faced.
Yes, they will be louder, and you might feel the pressures, whereas if you are simply going about your day, you are very busy, and it is harder to understand the difference between the simple things which must be done and the existential problems which we must all face.
But even the non-existential problems, even the problems of simply being in debt or having a leak in the roof, all the minor things that become loud and become initially
deafening,
like mountains on the back.
But that's only temporary. Once you are moving through this discomfort, you find liberation, and that's what people may not realize, is that they are freed by.
I think so, yes. I think so, but it is definitely a very common challenge to approaching the spiritual healing which must take place.
Yes. It's so hard. It's so hard for anyone who practices even for many years to even slow down and...
Well, and this is why we practice. I think if it could be done without practice, it would be always, it would be continuous. We would always be doing it.
I think it's like I just want to encourage everyone to, I think there's kind of a cerebral tendency in these conversations, which is beautiful, but I think that, it's important to move to the heart, because the heart is where all of this healing can happen. And so,
This is definitely a very, very important piece, I believe, as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, it was very, very enlightening.
And thank you for listening also. Anyone else would like to join in and be with us, the number is 617-253-8810, and we are inclined to welcome you.
Ma'am.
Caller, marhaba.
Oh, here we go.
Welcome, caller.
I've got to go in another room, of course. So, I was listening to you and thinking about how estranged I feel from my friends, which are visiting me right now from far away. And maybe we could get somehow connected through the distance that separates us by actually consuming or eating, like maybe just like a lower leg or something of each of us.
Well, I find that it is simpler sometimes to go for a leg of lamb or other animal.
This solution, while it would make physical separation much more difficult, and as a first choice, I could see how it would come to your mind first. In the end, it's really not the best decision because
because of the leg?
No, I think that there is a danger in the consumption directly. Consumption in the physical sense, taking a part literally of someone else and making it a part of you.
Literally.
Is to deprive them of that part. And I think
yes,
that
remember that this unity is dual.
No, I realize that, but I think that the use of the scapegoat is would be meaningful here, because then there is simply a shared experience.
Yes, perhaps
without the need for the loss of a limb or flesh.
Yes, one leg of lamb that all partake of is a much more unifying experience, as everyone is united and everyone gains, but no one is deprived.
And a person may feel more whole of himself. It is less of a threat to one's own identity, which as human beings, we like to retain. So
let's bring another voice in. If you'd like to join us, the number is 617-253-8810.
Well, I appreciate the guidance.
Caller, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for putting me on your most gracious radio show. I'm still hearing the phone ring.
I am as well, caller. Let's see if our engineer... Please hold, please, caller.
And it's almost as if one call consumes another.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
It is strange how our personalities and consciousnesses resonate over the airwaves.
Well, I think in keeping with the spirit of the show, perhaps I should... Is there another caller on the line?
I believe the
engineer is working on some technical difficulties.
Yes, we are not versed in these matters specifically, but...
The engineer assures me that it is well within his purview. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Yes, concerning the question of eating the ones you love most, we can go back to Renaissance French literature and, the writings of François Rabelais, where the nuns and priests were under siege, and the priests resolved the food shortage by cutting a buttock off of each nun, which she gladly gave to save the monkery, although obviously it created problems for the nuns when they were subsequently riding horseback and they had but one buttock to sit on.
Well, and I believe for sailors trapped at sea, this has also historically been a method of resolution for such shortages.
Also on the frontier, the Wild West frontier.
Ah, yes, yes, I know.
It is a common and a recurring theme, but the issue of consuming another person spiritually, I think, is a challenging one. The notion that the nun would exchange for a buttock a portion of the monk's soul, of his piety, of his devotion,
And
the nun's spiritual buttock would be much more fulfilling as well.
Well, I think it is a hardship.
In the spiritual sense.
I think it is a hardship.
Maybe with some rosemary.
Rosemary to season the spirit.
Yes.
See, it seems there is, I think, a spiritual aspect to rosemary, but I'm not sure how it would...
Yes, if there is a direct connection or not, I am not aware. But I think this is a hardship in two ways. If you are someone of the Donner Party or something like this, then you are really facing this spiritual hardship at the same time as perhaps your physical ones. It's quite trying. So we must, admire, I think, the fortitude in the situation. So.
Indeed.
It made me think of riding side saddle and whether that was a sacrifice or a pleasure. But this is off topic, I believe.
Indeed, and I think that the notion of spiritual consumption, the idea of merging in more than a physical aspect but also a spiritual one, perhaps we could discuss that briefly. There are foods which are difficult to consume, and much of our enjoyment comes from the difficulty. So I would like a spicy food, a food that has a lot of spices and becomes hot in the mouth would therefore be more difficult to consume. Is there a soul that is difficult to appreciate?
Ah, yes, a person who is quite spicy themselves. And I think this is the case, yeah.
I'm confused about what this spiritual landscape of culinary delights, what the analogous of, for example, I'm a big fan of fluff, being that was invented in this area, and I feel is deeply... spiritually connected to this place, but it is a highly processed food.
Maybe the fluff is a person who is in your life and you are used to them and you're fond of their spiritual taste, but really when you think about it and you get down to the root of the matter, you really wonder, is that person in your life really spiritually fulfilling and nutritious?
It could be. I think in opposition to the person who is quite spicy, we may find that the spicy person will, on the surface, be much, much harder to accept. But
however, they enliven your soul. They set it afire.
Yes, and when you contrast it with a person who is fluffy, more of a marshmallow or what have you, it will perhaps take too much exposure to this person to upset your culinary metabolism, your spiritual metabolism as well.
And more simply, I think when we meet a friend who is difficult to be with, a friend who is medicinal, who gives one advice spiritually and adjusts one through the simplicity of their existence, I think that there is an analogy there to be accepted as well.
In my life, I think that many of my very best friends, I think that they are somewhat analogous to this warm bread, this freshly baked, very warm and slightly moist bread. It's a very fulfilling taste, spiritually speaking. Comforting and yet not simply fluff, more rich and perhaps a bit nutty.
Indeed. I wonder, are they leavened?
You can see now, fluff would not be as enjoyable if it was not for the bread upon which it's been spread.
Ah, yes. And there is in this element a question of how do we mix the relationships we have and if you have one person or one food, it is much less, much more simple of an interaction. But you might consider, what is it like to be in a group with two or three or more numbers of people? And I personally find that it is very difficult to have an intimate connection.
I would say a veritable appetizer sampler. Where you never really get the full taste of the person. There's just so much going on, and spiritually and physically, that how could you keep it all straight?
It becomes muddled.
A smorgasbord.
This is a perfect word.
Indeed, but sometimes the group is balanced and mixed in the right quantities. Let us bring another voice with us. The number again is 617-253-8810.
And I would like to let this caller consume my call. And take on my spirit.
Excellent.
By hanging up at this point.
Thank you for being with us, caller. And is the new caller with us?
Hello?
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Welcome.
Caller.
Hi. Thanks for the welcome.
Thank you for joining us, caller.
I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Nice. Thank you.
A city full of many spiritual flavors.
And many culinary ones as well.
Yeah, I like the spiritual flavors more.
How so?
Well, I was painting this picture the other day, and I used red, and I used green. I was painting a picture of a rosemary tree.
Yes.
And it just made me feel very full.
So you felt full spiritually or physically? Was there an actual sensation of fullness, of being filled?
Well, I was also eating a bowl of cereal, but I think it was from the painting.
And I think that's such a beautiful idea also, is to associate the spirits of the people that we merge with colors. Should we bring another voice in very briefly?
Yes, add another color.
Indeed, I will.
To our smorgasbord.
Caller 8, marhaban.
No, it's just Scott from Cambridge. If your lines are too busy, I have no other way to hear you.
Scott, it is wonderful to have you, and you are never to us just Scott.
A question, please. While we were talking, or while I was listening, I got an unknown telephone call, an unidentified telephone call.
Oh, that was me.
That was you?
I think so. I called a random number.
You're kidding.
Scott.
That was an act of kindness. Thank you. It was really you?
Maybe.
Oh, okay, because I really got an unidentified phone call. So, I mean, all the novels and art and the religion of beauty and that stuff's great, but you know, sometimes you actually have to know who's calling you on the phone.
Yes, strange, I mean, it is all very nice. We have been talking from an informed perspective, or perhaps from a perspective in which we think we are informed, but there is some ignorance in the world, in every one of us, and I think this sort of occurrence, which cannot be explained, is a representative in a way.
It's commonplace.
And I wonder, could this analogy be like coming upon an unknown flavor in a food, and in this case a spiritual human dish?
Or perhaps if you are cooking a soup and you turn your back and your friend will throw in some cumin or something, have you?
Yes, we are all
metaphorically
thrown with surprises, and every day we experience new flavors.
Why would your friend throw in cumin behind your back.
Perhaps he is of some mischief.
Or even if they, I mean, there are benign, you know, one may imagine that he wants to cultivate a confidence, a culinary confidence in you.
And, you know, it may not necessarily be a human friend. I share my kitchen with many mice, and they have
like
been,
your mice might put
they have been kind enough
looking?
To share with me some of their recipe by time to time.
What kind of stuff do they teach you to cook?
Oh, well, this cumin that I speak of, it is such an incident where I turned to my back and I found that the cumin had fallen into the pot, and I saw a mouse run down the shelf. So I refer to him as my friend, and of course he is, but not one who shares my genetics.
What recipe did he teach you?
I believe it was just this addition of a spice which he felt was most appropriate. It was not a full list.
I would have thought
put the spice
spice
in for you?
Would have been partial to fennel and not cumin.
You
but
know,
every day we are surprised.
Yes, yes.
Bay leaves are nice.
And caller, I wonder if you are in the habit of cooking regularly. And by cooking, of course, I mean spiritually sampling others.
I was going to ask you what you ordered lamb with. Or when you ordered lamb, what you happen to order it with? I don't cook. I toss in a little bit of I make milkshakes with whey powder and whey protein and hydrolyzed.
Whey protein is not good for you.
Hydrolyzed. I make milkshakes with hydrolyzed protein.
Okay, that's good. I'm in a nutrition class, and whey protein is not good for you. It's actually just leftover protein that's virtually unusable, and they try and sell it for you to use in protein shakes, but actually it does hardly nothing in your body. It doesn't help balance your fluids, and it does not give you energy. It does not build your muscles, so you should probably stick to regular protein from that you might get from chicken or,
But thank you for informing us. I was not aware of this.
Yes, and I would add that we should all aim to remove these empty and harmful whey proteins from our spiritual life too, and we all know the people in our life who are these whey proteins that
yes,
fill our time.
Our interactions with them are more meaningless and
yes, and not nutritious at all in the spiritual sense. So we should all strive to remove these things from our life and cultivate only tasteful and nutritious relationships with others.
Put them in a different order and rearrange them.
Well, now, Scott, tell me, so you drink a lot of milk?
Yeah, I don't. Yes, I do. Thank you for asking.
And does it symbolize something particular to you?
Purity and innocence and chastity and virginity. And
so many things, yes.
The actual white rose. A blank piece of paper on which to remember particular separatenesses of being and particular meditations.
You know,
that might be beautiful.
This is interesting because it's sort of the opposite perspective in a way. We have been considering what is a person like if you have to make them as a food metaphorically, but you have been considering really what is a food like spiritually. So this is sort of the inverse metaphor a little bit.
Mm-hmm. John Updike wrote to me when I was in junior high, and he sent me a Merry Christmas letter, and he said, "Life is the meal to be eaten," which is existential, of course. So according to the letter I got from John Updike, he says, "Life is the meal to be eaten," if that helps you guys.
Yes, I believe it fits.
I like this message.
Perfectly. And I believe it's about time for us to go out into the world and taste the unknown flavors of life.
Indeed, we have wickedly tested the coming hours, so we must say goodnight. So thank you both callers. And
thank you, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us, and thanks to the many callers that we were unable to reach this evening. Thanks to Erno.
Thank you, Doctor.
And to Zorro.
Thank you very much.
I am Dr. Janis Sakran here on Music for Human, New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you here every Friday at 7. Stay tuned next for Radio Ninja on WMBR Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
For safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
He came from outer space to save the human race. A creature with a dream to entertain the children of the night. The rest, as they say, became history.
Magogo. The Show Show. Saturdays, 8 p.m. WMBR, 88.1 FM, Cambridge.
Ron Crowdy. Pardon me. Fred Wines. Pardon me. Pardon me. Check it out. Love music, but hate the business. Her funerals and to a picnic. It's a three-meal course with crows picking at your core. A common quiet man till you place a mic in his hand. Invigorating while y'all float. Leaky boat, spit intricate with each quarter sword pointed at the throw you on the ropes. Getting curved up, sliced up, served up. Stabbed through the heart with the broken pencil. Biters get broken lips. Beats of the you do not, no lie. He's hotter than hot sauce in your eye. When I rock to the beat, don't stop. Custodians collect what's left of your remains with the mop. A standard of my profession, not a throwing rapper off the rack. One of a kind. A writer of written rhythms redefined. Yours is the landscape with trash talk on the mic. More like sanitation workers on strike. Decelerate your diction. Effortless is a politician that breaks his word. His clear perception like a crystal ball. Predict your fall. Ball being the untamed name of the unexplained. Your manuscripts enable to grasp. Unequal to the task. Me one among us, I come alive when the sun hides in 90 state. Beats of the devil on devils, ain't hard to hear it displayed. I come alive when the sun hides in 90 state. Power of God makes me one among us, I come alive when the sun hides in 90 state. Beats of the devil on devils, ain't hard to hear it displayed. I come